The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope you're a fan of more than just pro football, because this is one of the great days on the sports calendar. In fact, we've been talking about great days in the human existence. We talked about in honor of the snow days that have been happening in some parts of this country. We evaluated on the earlier show this week. It was a very fun show, by the way. I encourage you, nay demand, to go back and dig that one up, and I think you'll agree that we covered a lot of important issues in the game of football, but the game of life, with our old pal Jeff Schwartz and the man seated to my immediate left, all the way from London, England. Now he serves as our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you? Are you excited for the start of the tourney?
It's all I can think of right now.
Is that true?
Yep.
I guess technically, and I'm waiting, I'm surprised that no one's jumped on me yet, that the tournament these days actually kicks off. I don't like that, though. It's sort of like the kickoff game in the NFL. I like the first
Sunday.
When
Sunday all
is
the games
what I count.
Are taking place, right.
May not technically be true, but it's true in my world.
Yep.
And I don't care for any NCAA March Madness tournament that starts on any day other than a Thursday. But Thursday, it is, as you listen to this, or perhaps just beyond. Here's the issue, Hanson. We can't really tackle college basketball 2017 because I don't know about you. I have a guess that you haven't watched a whole lot more than I have, which for me is zero.
I haven't watched any either.
It was early
in
January.
I'd say actually basketball in 2017. I haven't watched a second of any basketball. I may have done on a gym, on a running machine at one point.
But here's a sad irony. You know, I remember way back when I was in college, I had an internship in Pittsburgh, PA, mm-hmm. at one of the television stations there, CBS KDKA, the radio
station.
I've
heard of CBS, yeah.
Well, it's the first radio station in man's history.
Right.
That's right. So many great things came off the banks of the Three Rivers. Either way, I had an internship at the TV station there in the sports department, specifically Pirates. It was summertime, so that was the focus there. But I talked to all the anchors who I had grown up watching on TV, and to a man, they said, if you love sports, what advice do I have for you, young Dave Dameshek? If you love sports, don't go into sports as a career.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you'll learn to dislike them.
Right.
And I can say with the greatest pleasure, I have not become cynical about it for the most part. I love sports. And I call me, I don't know, a jock sniffer if you must. I don't get into meeting guys to, you know, because, you're a football guy who I am fascinated by interacting with the human beings,
right.
Celebrities. I said when I moved to Hollywood, when I moved to Los Angeles at the turn of the century, if I ever become so jaded that it's not exciting for me to see Mel Brooks walking on the street, then pack me up and ship me back to the Midwest, because the charm is being wasted on me. Same goes for pro football. I haven't gotten jaded. Other people always say, too, that you will stop rooting for a specific team.
Right.
You'll just you'll realize that your team has bad guys
exactly.
And good guys, and you'll just root for a couple people who you like. So far, so good. I'm still rooting for my team, and I know a lot of people out there say, I'm the voice of the fan. But in fact, I feel like I am, because in spite of people on social media coming after me for shame the devil, actually having a team that I like.
Right, and admitting to it.
I am you. Wouldn't it be weird if I had no rooting interest? I don't know. I don't care who wins any games. That would be weird.
Dave, while we're blowing your proverbial trumpet, I would say I agree with you. But also, the one way that you're not like a fan, and I like this, is that when you do talk to the players, you don't do the thing that you just said and get all overexcited or starstruck or whatever, but you can have a normal conversation that reveals things about those players that that maybe you didn't know. And I was reminded of that yesterday when you tweeted out a couple of the great work that you did. And again, I'm really blowing your trumpet. But the great work you did with the what was it called? The car pool?
The sports car.
The sports car. And you would take a passenger from the NFL.
Before Jerry Seinfeld did it.
Before Jerry Seinfeld was doing it with comedians with coffee and cars.
Thank you.
But thank you. That's
a little
me,
late.
That's me blowing your trumpet. And
save that for a future drop.
I really enjoyed looking back. There was Terrence Newman, who I think we're about to talk about, and Jamal Charles in your car, and I think you had a bunch of other guys as
Steven
well.
Steven Jackson.
They were always, that was a fun time.
My favorite one, with all due respect to everybody else, was DeSean Jackson, then with the Eagles.
Right.
And, boy, that was a great one because it started off salty. Ooh, Michael Crabtree.
Michael Crabtree.
Dig those up. I'll start tweeting those out.
You should tweet them out. They were really good. My favorite moment is when a kid comes up to the car with Jamal Charles in, who's just bought some
Let me just say, so
you.
The premise was I decided, yeah. Well, listen, I don't have enough juice. I don't have enough money behind me to do a proper talk show. So instead, I'll just use my car right. as my vessel. It will be my studio, and that was the premise of it. And I will just drive around and find NFL players
which is enough by itself for it to be fun. But the one with Jamal Charles, you decided that it would be a good opportunity to stop and get him to buy you some candy.
Because the green room was empty.
The green room was empty, which was
AKA
the
glove compartment. Right.
And Jamal Charles gets approached by some people who want his autograph, and you give them your autograph. And I don't think, and maybe it was just clever editing, I don't know how the TV sausage is made, but that Jamal Charles, they didn't even ask for his autograph in the end. You gave them your autograph, and that was enough for the people who clearly
no,
wanted
it was,
his.
It was probably about a 12-year-old kid, and I was struck by the fact that a kid that age would recognize Jamal Charles here in Los right. Angeles. People, nobody knows yeah. about pro football out here. Yeah, yeah. Little kids don't consume it. The kid knew Jamal Charles, and he followed him out of the convenience store. Jamal Charles walked out with a huge bag of Jolly Ranchers and such to replenish the green room, and the kid followed Jamal Charles to his side of the car and said, "Can I get your autograph?" And then that's when I grabbed the paper and pen. I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Jamal Charles. I'm sorry. Who am I making this out to?"
But
now,
did
get
the
out
kid
here.
Ever get the autograph he actually wanted?
Then the kid, yeah. Then I gave it back to the kid, and he stood there for a beat and said, thank you," and turned and walked away. And Jamal Charles is such a pleasant fellow that he wasn't like, "What are you doing? No, get over here!" Like, he allowed it to happen. Then I summoned the kid back, and that's the coda to the
right.
That's the blow, as they call it in the comedy biz.
Right.
We do show at the very end of that sports
that
car
moment.
That Jamal Charles gives the kid his autograph. It was very nice. But anyway, yes. So we had good times with all that. It's very kind of you to
that's
bring
all right.
that up.
I'm glad. I mean, I'm looking for. I'm sure this will be reciprocated at some point where you're nice about me.
You know, I named you Handsome Hank. I think I'm good for the rest of his life.
I still owe you.
Yes, exactly right. I'll thank you to blow my
trumpet.
As often as you can. Well,
I will.
All right, enough of that talk. Hey, you know what? I enjoyed, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it, Handsome Hank. You were traveling to the four corners of the Big Blue Marble. You're a world traveler now. You went to London. You went to New York City. So we missed you on here in Studio 66. And we decided, let's try, instead of a press conference, everybody has press conferences these days, the president, all his staff, all these players, the coaches, the GMs. Let's have, instead of a press conference, let's have a producer conference. I asked MVP, Ryan Bartlett, and the rest of the gang to cook up some questions mm-hmm. about the game of football and or the game of life, and we're here to respond to them. And guess what, Handsome? So we're going to have our second producer conference here and now, asking all manner
wow,
of questions.
Okay.
The
I'm
beauty
ready.
Of this, Handsome, is no prep required for us.
No.
We just show up
we
and
just
do
show
it.
Show up and they ask questions.
Now, the thing that might undermine that a little bit is when we do the show normally, no prep required. So anyway,
yeah,
but it still
that,
feels like
I don't know
like
how that's different to other shows where we haven't.
But here's the great news. Look behind the glass there, Handsome Hank.
I know.
It's not just MVP and Ryan Bartlett. No. Back from goodness knows where, one of our favorite producers here at the NFL. He still is wearing that ridiculous mustache and even more ridiculous fishing jersey. Why? Because he's a fisherman? No, because he's a sweater. And because he's acknowledged
the fact. I do fish. I went on a trip last week.
Yeah, but you're not fishing now.
No.
You just are trying to avoid sweating, so
right.
he wears one
it's
of those vented button-down shirts with air vents.
I mean, it's formal in the front, party in the back.
It's not formal in the front.
Look
yeah,
who
or,
it is. It's
or in the back.
Sully, everybody. Sully's back. What's the poop, Sully?
Not too much, fellas. She's back from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Ready to
yeah.
get back to work.
But again, though, just
what
to make clear, you're not fishing. You're not fishing right
went
now.
I to four Tennessee football games.
Right.
Three weddings.
Right. Okay, so that's 7 days out of the 5 months.
A bunch of fishing trips.
Right.
Spent a lot of time in Texas with the family.
13 days?
No, that was not 13. That was like
a good
couple weeks.
Okay. 22 days?
Yeah, a bunch of stuff and things. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you back.
Good to be back.
I do remember when you left.
I see you brought the charisma back right. with you, too.
Yep,
I do remember when you left. We put on quite a show to say farewell to you for the last time.
Yes.
Well, here you are.
Yeah, I know. It's very much handsome when you saw him walk through the door just before the show started. You said it's very much like our own Brett Favre.
Right.
Yeah.
Won't go away.
Yeah.
just lingering.
He just hangs around.
Third right. season here.
Right.
But with the Brett Favre with the Packers, because right. that's the difference. Is yeah, that yeah. like,
I went
hey,
Super
the
Bowl.
Jets, there was always someone on the phone. We'll take them.
What I like as well
the Vikings,
about Sully,
we want him. Like the Sully just shows
the
up.
The one difference
like,
with Brett Favre was that Brett Favre would get to August and he's like, I got the feeling. I can do it one more time. Sully waits until the off season hits, till it's quiet, and then he's like, yeah, I think I can go. I can probably cruise through five more months of hanging out before before I leave when the bullets start flying.
Early thought here that there's not going to be 5 months this time. Might be right. 30 hours a week, so it might have me for a full season this round.
Wonderful. So here yeah. thanks he is, for getting back from Knoxville, Tennessee, one of Tennessee's biggest fans. Yep. Sully is back in the fold, and what a pleasure to see him. Sully, before we begin the producer conference,
correct.
My question to you is, mm-hmm. true or false, did you listen to Dave Damashek football program?
True, for
away?
Sure.
How many times?
For sure. How many?
I'd probably say a handful.
I don't know what that
How
means.
Many podcasts can you fit in your hand?
Five.
Five.
Okay. You listened to five DDFP.
Five DDFP.
You were gone for 5 months.
Probably about once a month I tuned in.
Or was it the same one where we let you talk for 20 minutes five times?
Yes, it was that one on repeat.
Was this the only NFL media podcast you listened to?
No.
Which other one did you listen to?
Move the Sticks. I got to listen to my boys.
During the season,
and
they even
season.
Do them during the season.
Yes, of course they do.
What are the what
the
Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks have the kibitz
season?
About in the off season that's compelling? Right.
The draft.
Yeah, see, but there's more. But what do we teach? What did I? Apparently, our teachings have fallen on deaf ears. There's more to life than just football.
That's true.
As important as it is, Sully.
That's true. Nobody kibitz better than the show. I'll tell you that.
Well, but the show is based. I mean, podcasts are all based on kibitzing. So if that is the measure, then shouldn't this be the one that's first
right.
in queue?
Yeah, he bring up a valid point.
Hey, by the way, do your old pal Dave and Handsome and Sully and MVP and Bartlett and the rest of the gang a big favor. Why don't you download the DDFP, share it with a friend, rate it, so on and so forth.
Subscribe.
By the way, when we're done with the producer conference, we have been we were visited here in 66 several days ago by Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman came.
Super Bowl 51 hero. He made the crazy catch. We kibitzed about that. Not only did I kibitz with Julian Edelman here in 66, sideline reporter Indy caught him on his way out the door for the post-interview.
Right.
And so you'll have both of those by the end of this show. So stick around for that. In the meantime, let it begin. Let's start the producer conference.
Dave. Hey, Dave. Hank. MVP.
Yes,
MVP.
Dave Damashek, yes,
football
please.
Program. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Darrell Revis has been in the news lately. How would you feel about him being on the Steelers?
Handsome, I'll start with you. What do you think about your team?
Start with me. You would just ask a direct question.
I know. It's about the Steelers, but you know my way. I like to make it universal for everybody. Would you want Darrell Revis on your football team in 2017?
No. Not unless we got a time machine handy.
Not for any amount?
I think he's going to get paid in 2017 anyway by the Jets, and it's a large amount of money. I think it's $8 million.
Well, he says he wants $8 million.
Well, he has to get beyond $8 to make it worthwhile, because otherwise he's losing out on money he would otherwise get for doing nothing.
I know,
from
but
the
he's
Jets.
Already rich. I know that he has made that his first order.
I still make that. No, I don't.
He infamously said he'd rather get paid handsomely than win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Then he went on and won a Super Bowl.
Well, what's he playing for? He's won his Super Bowl. He's made every penny of all the money in the world. All he wants to do is just hang out. I don't want Darrell Revis.
You know what's
on
a good
team.
List? I was just thinking of Darrell Revis. The time in Tampa is really weird. Forgotten. It's almost hard to remember that he did that.
And it's recent.
I know. He was there. You know, that was a whole thing, and that was going to transform the operation down there and everything.
Nope,
and they
kind
of have done that in spite of him.
Right.
Moving on. We need a good list of what are the weirdest star in a uniform that season, you forgot about. Yeah. Like Mike Piazza, you can catch a picture of him in the Marlins gear for 3 days. Things like that. We got to put that list together. Either way, on Revis, I feel like the Pittsburgh Steeler connection or the Pittsburgh connection is, of course, I'm from
Aliquippa.
I'm sentimental. Mo Damashek is from Aliquippa too, from Hopewell. She went to Hopewell High, right next to Aliquippa. But you know, Namath went to Beaver High. Mm-hmm. I talked to Namath. You know, Joe Namath, high school football and its importance.
Namath in a Rams jersey is one of those.
Oh yeah, that's another good one, right? In the history of football, you know, everybody knows high school football is big in Texas, Florida, California, and in southwestern Pennsylvania, and so many legends came out of there. Namath and Darrell Revis couldn't be different, more different souls for guys who had the exact same profession, and yet the one thing they connected on was when I asked them. Respectively, separate from one another, about high school football. They lit up. They just went into cruise control. Oh, the Jets or this and that, and oh, you know, what's going on with this? When I asked them about Beaver High, like Joe Namath launched into like, I went back to watch him play the Quips last year, and we got to get that ship right because we can't be losing to the Quips. Revis went for no fewer than 15 minutes on Alabama football. It was, I mean, they really, those certain regions of the country, if you haven't heard, are crazy for high school football. Anyway, that was great. So given that, I like the completing the circle, and specifically, Darrell Revis played in Heinz Field as a Pitt Panther. So how neat would that be if he could actually finish his career?
It makes sense. Field? That would be the place.
And I wouldn't pay him $8 million, but, you know, if they could get him for $2, $3 million, just because he had a bum 2016 doesn't mean – he's not like a 42-year-old man or anything.
No, no. I think if he does play another year, I think he'll have a – good, he'll have a better year than he did in 16.
Well, the other thing is,
he must be motivated. He must be stung by everything that he's heard about what a bum he was last season.
Word is that he doesn't want to go out. That's one of the things that I've read, is that he doesn't want to go out with that stink in 2016 to close things out. I think wearing black and gold would be great. And by the way, practically speaking, the Steelers do like to press you at the line like that and go man-to-man and get physical with you. Well, they don't necessarily like that in the Tampa, too, but they do like a physical corner in that spot, and that's what Darrell Revis' strength might still be.
Maybe he moves to safety.
I don't know if he could do that. But either way, yes, I fully support it, and he did say, Darrell Revis, for his part, he told Aditi Kinkabwala, our pal, that as a child I watched the Steelers play. Went to a few games as a young child, Three Rivers or Heinz. I wonder how young. Does that? I guess if you grew up and were watching games on Heinz Field, that makes me an old man. I played there in high school and college, so to play there professionally would be awesome too. We'll see. Hopefully, we'll have a conversation with the Steelers and we'll see if we can come up with something. It's why I can't
crazy
be a GM.
Crazy you'd have that quote just in your mind when you got asked a completely random question by MVP.
No, you know what? You make your jokes, but that's why MVP is the best in the business. That's why she's the head writer. Because she has the forethought, like I said, why this Revis quote? She said, "You'll find out in the press, in the producer conference."
I like it.
Well done.
That's why she is the head writer, and I'm not.
It's also why I could never be an NFL GM, because I get sentimental about these things. Right. Like, I know it's bad business. You know what? We're giving you $4 million, you stinker. Get over here. The only issue is, though, is that he wears number 24.
Mm.
There's another guy from the Pittsburgh Steelers named Ike Taylor.
Could not do that. That number's out of bounds.
We should contact Ike and see how
he would feel about it.
You know what? Do me a favor, MVP, while we sit here,
tweet at Ike.
Tweet Ike right now and say, how would you feel about Darrell Revis coming back if it meant he had to wear your number 24? Would you be cool?
Should this be from your account or mine?
Oh, yeah, MVP now has access to...
You know what, Kate? There's so much going on with this head writing.
You can make it for mine, MVP.
Sure thing.
Next question. Let's move along here. Meantime, the Pittsburgh Steelers have signed Justin Hunter, and that's it. Anyway, the Patriots have doubled their already powerhouse roster.
And the Dolphins missed out on Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe. What is it with Dontari Poe and everybody's
there actually is a player that's draftable this year named Edgar Allan Poe, as a matter of fact, from Navy. Wide receiver. What is it?
There's an Edgar Allan
There's
Poe?
There's an Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe.
There's, you know what's crazy, too, is, and we've asked a guy or maybe even two here on DDFP who have the first name Shaq, that 21st century phenomenon, all inspired by the Shaquille O'Neal, the import mm-hmm. that he had in the sports world. It's amazing that like 20 years later, if you think about it, you really do the math, you know, he gets to the Lakers and really takes off from there, like about 20, 25 years later, all of a sudden, there's a preponderance of Shaqs that are now trying to grow. Shaq Lawson last year,
that was a great interview you had with him. He was a delight.
Shaq Lawson, yeah. You're right. He was great. Yeah. And by the way, as I keep saying, I'm going to reiterate this now. The Buffalo Bills are going to be good. How good, we'll figure that out as we get closer to the season.
They might even come third in the AFC East.
You know what? You make your jokes, but the pay, because I know you're, as I mentioned earlier, you're a Dolphins guy, and I think the Dolphins are not necessarily going to regress and be like a 500 team. They might be legit too, but the Bills, I like this team. If that offensive line is all right, the other big thing they have to do is use that first-round pick on one of those high-end wide receivers. If you get Sammy Watkins and finally can get him healthy, and then you have Charles Clay, and then you mix in one of these guys, Corey Davis or Mike Williams or one of those guys, I mean,
and they signed two of the top 10 fullbacks in free agency as well, which is
great. I know. I think this Bills team's going to be good. All right, next question.
Check, check, check.
Yes, Sully.
All right. Will the Browns win a Super Bowl in our lifetime, your lifetime, lifetime?
Well, that's shortened it a bit.
Dave Damashek's lifetime.
Okay,
so seven to ten years.
That's what you call stakes, handsome. Raise stakes. You want Sully could be around with his air fresh shirt. Like he could make it another half century here.
Yeah, that's right.
Before you answer, though, I just want to remind everybody behind the glass that you are, in fact, all grown-ups at your place of business. You're getting paid to be here, and you're all going like, Shaq, Hayden, Hansen, I'm pretending you're doing a press conference.
Hey, I think that means we've made it.
I didn't know. That's what I was going to ask. Does this mean your life is going well or that you need to take a long
When you take a phone call from your parents, will you be telling them that, hey, what did you do at work today? Did you meet any new friends?
I pretended I was a reporter
in a studio talking to two
went
guys.
Went to journalism school, and now I'm faking journalism.
And then they made fun of me for being sweaty. All right, Sully. Yeah. Oh, Browns. So Browns, handsome. Let's start with you.
Well, no, because
in my lifetime, figuring that, as you mentioned, let's
if you
be
keep
generous.
Growing at the size you're growing at, I'm giving you 10 years.
I may eat myself to death sooner rather than later. But let's say it's seven. Let's be generous and say the low end is 7 years.
Right.
And the high end, I mean, let's not get ridiculous, 22 years maybe
it. Well, you've pointed out many times that they only hand out one Vince Lombardi trophy a year. And that's something that I think about a lot. Mm-hmm. Because as a Miami Dolphins fan, I joined Dolphins fandom in about 1982, 83. The Dolphins went to a Super Bowl early in my fandom in 1984. And then, or 85, 84 season. And haven't been back since. And haven't looked like getting back since. And it's kind of I've had the conversation, our friend, mutual friend Mark Sessler, who's a Cleveland Browns fan, we've had the conversation, will our teams go to the Super Bowl? Not just win, but go to the Super Bowl in our lifetimes. It's perfectly possible that it doesn't happen. I mean, it's more likely than not, in fact, because you're going to have a dominant team like you've had the Patriots for the last, 15 years. You had teams before that. There will be another team.
So you have a 1 in 16 chance.
You have a 1 in 16 chance of them going.
Of getting to the Super Bowl.
Of them
Bowl,
going
obviously.
To the Super Bowl. But it's not a 1 in 16 chance because at any one time, your team could go through a period. If you're bad, you're going to be bad for a long time. If you're good, you're going to be good
There's the nuance of what happened in the early part of this decade, that the two best teams in football both happened to be in the NFC West, the Niners and Seahawks.
Right.
And
so they would, prior to that, the two best teams in football were the Patriots and Colts, and they just knocked each other out of, it came down to those two teams a lot of times in the AFC.
Or in the 80s, for a brief time, the Broncos and Browns were the two best teams, and the Broncos won both of those, and here we sit now.
So I'm going to say it's more like, if you were a gambling type, you would say no.
I guess I'll say no because this is a legitimate question, not just for the Browns, but for any team. In the age of free agency and the way these contracts work and the way you cut bait quickly, no matter, $50 million guaranteed spread over 4 years equals 1 to 2 seasons with a given team.
Right.
And so all those moving parts create for me a sense, and parity beyond that creates this vibe where I kind of feel like any sport, and this is happening in all the sports, is that there's a vibe that eventually your number's going to come up if you wait it out.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I do know what you mean.
It used to be that you would have the Yankees had a stranglehold on MLB. Mm-hmm. And there was no way around that for long stretches. When it was the original six, and there wasn't free agency in hockey, I'm talking about, for 25 years, nobody moved. So your team was your team, and if it wasn't smiled upon by the hockey gods when it was constructed, you were never going to win a Stanley Cup during that run. Now it feels like at least there's the latitude in movement of talent that your number should come up.
What teams
stink in pro football every year? What team is never not good? Is never good? The Browns.
The Browns, that's where we got to.
But everybody seems like they – it feels to me like if you just hang in long enough, eventually your team's going to be halfway decent. But
that's not good enough. That's the point. Halfway decent is fine, but what we're talking about is getting to – I think the question was win a Super Bowl. And that's the thing that in the NFL these days – Even when free agency was happening, I remember when Jimmy Johnson assembled that Cowboys team and they went from being 1-15 to whatever it was 4 or 5 years later, you could see them transitioning into being.
Yeah, like, that's right.
The window, they always talk about the Super Bowl window. The window back then, relatively speaking, seemed like it was very large. It was like a French door type of window. But now, because of those contracts you just talked about, you might have assembled the perfect roster, maybe for no more than a year or 2 years.
Now it's more like one of those Mr. Ed kind of two-way doors,
right?
Like only half of it open.
Or if you're trying to climb out of the bathroom window because you've, or climb in a bathroom. I don't know.
The bad guys in movies need to figure that bit out.
Right, like they always get left trying to climb out of a bathroom window.
Well, but the hero, his move or her move usually is in the movies, is they open the too small to squeeze through window in the bathroom, in the public bathroom, and then the bad guys look, they're like, he or she got away out this window. But in fact, the guy is actually still hiding in the bathroom, but they're unaware.
Right.
They should
pressed
catch
against
up.
The ceiling or up through the sort of ventilation.
Or they're
pipes.
Doing the classic move of standing on the toilet seat. So
yeah.
Even though they check underneath the stalls, like you still, he's not there because I
gone.
Don't see his feet.
Yeah.
But of course, if they just would open that
right.
door. But then it seems like in the last 15, 20 years of movies, the bad guys are onto it because now they standardly kick the stall doors open. And the reason they don't find the hero hidden away is because something distracts them. Like they're one, kunk.
No, or
empty.
Or they walk in and it's like, empty? How? And then they walk in and the guy's pressed up against the ceiling, like holding on like Spidey. Drops on them.
That bit
breaks their neck.
A lot of heroes in movies get away with that move too. Of like,
right.
I'm hiding above you. I'm right over your head, but you don't notice
because
I'm over your head. I wonder. I'd like to put that. I'd like to test that in real life. Would you notice if somebody was hovering over your head?
We should test with Maurice because it would just be easier.
We could be lower.
We
down
could be. Yeah.
And still feel like we're way over.
Yeah,
I got you. So I guess our answer to the Cleveland Browns is that. What I will say is they don't have their quarterback who's going to win them that Super Bowl yet, and yet I support staying with Cody Kessler and not taking the bait as they, previous regimes in Cleveland would, and the New York Jets almost invariably are going to with Jay Cutler or Colin Kaepernick. The answer is not in the Browns building, but it's also not available in free agency right now. So
and
I
it's
think
not actually in this draft, I don't think.
Probably not.
I would be looking.
I don't know,
but
I'm not ready to say
season.
Deshaun Watson's going to be a – because people have seized collectively on the fact that he had some inaccuracy issues throwing the ball outside the numbers downfield. But then again, he beat Bama in that title game. He was just about clean for two straight seasons there. He's so dynamic. I just think people got caught up in this one aspect of him. Cam Newton, I say it all the time, but Cam Newton and Ben Roethlisberger disproved the notion that you can't succeed in the NFL as a quarterback if you have accuracy issues. They both have spent long stretches of their career struggling with accuracy, and, of course, nobody would put them outside the top eight quarterbacks in the NFL. All right.
Next question.
Next question. Was that too long, Handsome?
No, that's good. Next question.
Over here. Ryan Bartlett. Good luck to your Jayhawks. Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Rock Chalk.
What the hell does that mean already? All you people in your dumb gym doing that cheer.
It's secret. One day we'll pass that on to you.
All right, go ahead. So your Jayhawks are a number one seed. You're the only one in here who really follows college basketball.
MVP claims to follow it a little bit. But
do you know about it, MVP? What's happening with –
believe it or not.
What about Jimmy Boeheim in the NIT?
Yeah, it's not so good.
You feel sad for him that this is how he checks out?
Yes.
This is his last year, right?
I hope not.
But didn't he say it was going to be?
It's up in the air.
Handsome. If I go ahead, tell us the number one seeds. Handsome, who do you think wins the – who do you think meets
I think
the
UNC
title
wins.
You think UNC mm-hmm. takes it? You know what UNC stands for?
Yeah, of course I do.
Well, I don't know if you know.
What do you mean? Why would I not know that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll tell you a true story about me. Mm-hmm. I nearly got a scholarship to University of North
what?
Carolina. Yeah, in fact, what? And then I'll tell you another story about me. Because I didn't get the scholarship there, I went we've talked previously about aged 18. I drove across the United States. We broke into the stadium, Keenan Stadium, football stadium at UNC, you know, where Lawrence
looked very nice.
It's very nice. And I threw a touchdown on the field.
Did you?
Yeah, no one kicked us off.
How nice. That must have been some thrill at 18.
It was a thrill.
But what wasn't a thrill was thinking they were about to offer you.
I then thought that, well, no, that was previous to that, yes.
It's not like they have a rich history until Mitch Trubisky of quarterbacks. Maybe you could have earned a position.
I was going to walk on, and then I would have been American.
What would you
one.
Have done at UNC?
I would have just.
Why of all the universities?
I would probably just be considering retirement now.
But why in America if you're applying to schools in all 50 states? UNC.
No, there was a scholarship specifically for people from the United Kingdom that UNC offered.
The Tar Heels.
That's right.
All right.
So that's what
you're going UNC.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, teams don't repeat in college basketball, so I'm scratching Nova out on that one. I really have. I mean, that was where we started, what, 20, 30 minutes ago? I was going to say the one thing that has happened as a result, the one bad thing.
Are we still talking about the windows?
I went back to, like, yes, right. I have not. I've sustained being a fan of the teams I've always been a fan of. Right. I haven't gravitated towards new ones or dismissed longstanding teams that I root for. The thing that has happened is the NFL season has become so all-consuming for me. It's really hard. I'm just now watching Penguins hockey. I'm getting right for the playoff run as they try to repeat. I didn't get to watch a lot of Pitt or IU basketball. That was okay, though, this year because they were both crummy, and I knew it by early January. Since then, I don't think I've watched 4 seconds of college ball. Who's good? Bartlett. Who's your pick?
Kansas.
Is that sincere, though?
No, it really
is. If they're a one seed, then that's not a ridiculous.
Player of the year, or he's going to be the player of the year. Frank Mason really leading the team. I mean, Duke is another group. They've been playing really well. I believe they were the Vegas
No one
favorites.
Wants to see that. Is that right?
Yeah, out of the top, I saw that go across the
Grayson Allen's
Twitter.
Still kicking everybody and throwing elbows at them and everything. Yeah. How has he not been kicked out of basketball? He's become, for me, this is what it's like to be a sports fan, I guess, for most of the world. Now I'm experiencing that. Like, doesn't Duke have that guy who kicks everybody all the time? But it does seem like that I've heard that about 6 times this year.
Well, he was punished with a 1-game suspension, I believe, during the season.
Anyway, he's also been punished by whoever made his face, because he looks frighteningly like Ted Cruz. It's weird how much he looks like Ted
Separated
Cruz.
Separated at birth.
Yeah. So you're going Kansas, MVP.
I'm going UNC.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
And Sully?
I haven't filled out my bracket yet. I'll tell you later.
Sully. Such drama. Such suspense.
What do you mean? You haven't?
Master showman, Sully.
Right. I'm leaning towards Kansas, but I'll go Kansas.
You know what I'm gonna do, Handsome? Because
yes.
Neither of my my schools, Pitt, where I grew up, and IU, where I attended, are in this tournament. I'm gonna root for the local team, UCLA, because Lonzo Ball being in the tournament means more talk. Although I'm already over the father issue, I don't need to hear anything more about that. Did you have a father who drove you?
What?
I don't mean
school?
In an automobile. I mean drove emotionally.
No, not
and
really.
Otherwise. He didn't.
Not in the same way that athletes will often talk about their father's.
If you would have had a what was Todd Marinovich's dad's name?
Russ?
No.
Rod?
Marv.
If you would have been born into Marv Marinovich's family, you think you would have maybe, you know, played pro ball of some sort?
It could have gone either way.
Really?
Yeah.
Did
you see that Todd Marinovich was arrested again?
It didn't work out well for him. But I'm saying, do you think you would have that sort of tough love would have suited you?
No.
You didn't receive that?
I didn't receive. I mean,
you were coddled?
No.
You were precious?
Occasionally I would be given tough love, but I earned every moment of the tough love that I received.
I see. Were you a ne'er-do-well?
No, but there are times where I was a ne'er-do-well. I wasn't like a habitual line stepper. I just occasionally would step over the line, and then I'd be.
Did you ever have any run-ins with the Bobbies?
I mean, I don't think this is the time or place.
Is that right? Yeah. You tangled with the English 5-0.
Hey, there were a couple of times.
There's some Bobbies in silly hats chasing us. Fear not, they don't carry guns.
It doesn't matter. I don't think this is the time.
The Bobbies were quite nice. They gave us a slap on the wrist and sent us off about our way.
No, I had to spend a night in the cells.
My mum was quite displeased when I telephoned her. Let her know.
She doesn't know.
I'd run afoul of the law.
She doesn't know, so I hope she's not listening.
I've run afoul of the law, Mum.
Mother, I have something to tell you.
Yes, what is it, Henry? Sweet angel from the heavens. Light of my life.
I'm afraid I had to spend a night in the cells.
You're staying at science class working on cell work, are you?
No, not those type of cells, Mother.
I love the microscope. The microscopes are a fascinating bit of technology, aren't they, Henry?
Not those type of cells, Mother.
What type of cell is there, then? A salesman? I have higher aspirations for you. Perhaps you'll be a doctor or an attorney. Or perhaps you'll wear a powdered wig and serve in our nation's legislature.
Mother, you know I've chosen my career. I'd like to work with the American football players.
So silly. Disloyal, that. Go on.
What? Go back to... Mother, I spent
the night... You were speaking of selling some sort of goods, pigskins or otherwise.
No, I spent the night in a jail cell, Mother.
That made me cough. I fell out of it.
Okay.
For what, pray tell?
Carry on with the music. Right, let's stop.
That's enough. Handsome doesn't want to share that story yet. We'll get your mother on the line, and then we can really figure this thing out.
Yeah, all right.
All right, next question.
Sure.
Oh, wait, Bartlett, you never asked your question. Go ahead, then.
Damashek, this is for you, Ryan Bartlett from DDFP.
Yes, yes.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You're from Kansas, right?
Correct.
All right.
How much
good when you
pay?
Use their names to say, like, yes, Ryan.
Yeah, yes, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan.
Yes, not. How much did you pay in taxes back in 2005?
2005. That is good. I guess I could kind of come close to a legitimate answer, but I wouldn't be so crass as to say that. Although, do you care what people make, Handsome? I don't share what I make because of how other people handle that. I have no compunction about sharing that or talking to people about what they're worth, but some people find that...
What they're worth.
Not what they're worth, but I guess what they make and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we work in an industry, I guess, work in a corporation where we happen to know some of our...
Right, colleagues.
Colleagues, what they're making on
it.
So I won't say, but yeah, I could estimate. I was writing on a late night show by then. I was making the fancy guild loot by then, so I wasn't scraping by. But I wasn't rich either,
right?
Nor am I now, which would be a sad.
You're kind of
what,
rich.
What if I had been rich, but now I weren't rich? That would be a sad story.
No, you're kind of rich.
No.
Well, it depends. I mean, it's all relative.
I suppose, but compared to what, I don't know. I mean, there are a few people. Anywho, I don't know about that. No,
well, I thought you didn't mind.
Well off.
No,
I'm not.
I thought you didn't mind people knowing.
I don't mind, but I know that people react poorly to that, and so I don't want to do it because of how people react to it. But it's not.
Why don't we get our listeners to all send?
I don't think it's hard to figure out what you make in the guild minimum to on a late night show if you wanted to figure that out. But anyway, believe me, it's not an extravagant amount of money. It's fine. But before that, what's the least as an adult you ever made?
I remember earning my first job. I had £12,000.
So like
it was £1,000 a month.
That's like
work
20K?
It out by the if you just divide that
15,
by the
20K?
Number of months in a year.
I know, but pound in
no,
the US.
No, then it was 24K.
Oh, so it was double that. So
yeah,
you made like 20K.
Or 20, call it. It wasn't a lot of money, I can tell you that.
What's
much.
500?
At the time, boy, 1,000 pounds.
What's 500 times 52? When I first moved to Los Angeles, I was an assistant, and I made 500.
Which one of those three back there do you think could work that out quickest?
20.
I know who I'd have last. I'm just not quite sure who I think would come first.
6,000.
26.
26,000. That's what I made.
Okay.
In Tony, Los Angeles.
Yeah,
can you imagine.
Yep.
How I scratched it by, but I did it with grit and gumption and hope for a brighter day.
Yeah, and now look where you are. Kind of rich.
Sitting in a cruddy podcast studio being asked by a guy in a vented fishing shirt. Boy, I've arrived.
Yeah, it's all
next question.
It's all taken off.
Check.
Yes, Emma.
Hey,
MVP.
Dave. MVP, Dave Damashek Football Program.
Good to see you again.
How are you liking today's show so far?
I think, you know, it's always more spirited and enjoyable when we have Handsome Hank in the fold. Now we have Sully here.
Right.
You know, all's well in March.
It is great to have Sully back.
Yes. All right. My real question then.
How are you enjoying it, MVP? That's
I'm
the real question.
I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I like these.
You're the gauge. You're the gauge. You talk about having no compunction about insulting people. MVP, the head writer, will say directly, "I don't like this. This is boring."
She says it during the show. It kind
into
of
my ear. This
off-putting.
Is boring.
You,
no, yeah, I don't like this.
Just in your ear, so that the listeners don't know.
I mean, that's hurtful. But anyway, continue.
J.J. Watt enjoys flipping tires. Tom Brady relies on a plant-based diet. What's your go-to health regimen?
I will let you know if I ever have one. Handsome, how say you?
Well, first, before I get into mine, I am really intrigued by Tom Brady's special pajamas. So he's got these special pajamas that he wears, and apparently he attributes his more recent revitalized career to some pajamas he wears that has this stuff on the inside. I'm not kidding. Have you not seen any of this?
No.
Under Armour, I've made some special pajamas for him that he wears every night to bed. And I think if you've read anything about his background, he goes to bed. You know, he's in bed tucked up. You know, he's had his story read to him. It'll be 9:30 and it's time for lights out. But he wears special pajamas, and I'm really like I know I'm being used by a massive corporation to buy something that I don't need. But I want a pair of Under Armour jammies.
Are they footies?
I don't think they do.
We're looking at the website now, and it looks like just a T-shirt and a pair of shorts.
This is a good
time
to
announce.
Yeah,
they're special. They have something inside them.
Speaking
some
of special
magic
undergarments.
Definitely athlete recovery sleepwear.
Sully, get ready for some big news here. Give me a drum roll, everybody. We have a new sponsor coming up starting in April.
Whoa.
MeUndies.
MeUndies.
We were just talking about special garments to wear underneath. They're close to your form. Now you're going to get them. It's MeUndies coming up in
April. I can't wait to slide on some MeUndies.
I know. I want to, at the end of each show, each DDFP, I want to give away a pair of underpants to the MVP of the show.
Game-worn ones.
Ooh, I didn't.
Maybe they could get
that.
Your undies.
Game-worn.
Podcast-worn undies.
Game-worn, Maurice. You're welcome.
You're welcome. I think that's good. Or you could offer them to fans. Sealed in a vacuum pack.
So you're going to get the Tom Brady.
Okay, I'm sorry. So yeah, that I'm
sponsored by MeUndies.
But I would like, if MeUndies want to go into the world of researching how to make those type of sleep things, I'd wear them.
Can I tell you my actual workout currently? I'm not actually working out yet. I'm going to get into that in the next number of days. I'm going to start getting on
How
the
soon is this?
I don't know. Some point soon, I'm going to get on the
treadmill. Within the next 7 to 12 years before you die.
Well, let's hope so, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to see that Browns not win a Super Bowl for a long time.
Yeah.
In the last, 3 weeks or so, I have not had beer. That's pretty good, isn't it? I haven't had beer for a while. You're not impressed by that?
I mean, if your workout regime is I didn't have beer.
That's a pretty good thing. You knock
off
the
beer. It is very
good.
No, I think it's good.
Sully gets it. If anybody gets it, it's Sully.
If anyone's going to get it, Sully.
Ryan Bartlett, your last beer?
Probably been about a month or two.
What?
I'm more of a liquor guy.
Yeah. Oh, all right. So you're still hitting the brown stuff.
Yeah.
You too, obviously.
I'll take some rum or vodka, you know, the strong stuff.
Sully?
Two nights ago.
too.
Right, this is great. Well, no wonder the show is so crummy. They're always drunk back there. That's all they're lucky if they walk in here and can see straight.
Right.
MVP, I don't know your drink of choice.
Yeah, it's been a month ago or so.
What, but do you like a drink of some sort, though?
Sure. I
a
like
spirit?
A nice white wine.
A white wine.
Really crisp Pinot Grigio.
I'm not. I've said it before. I'll say that again. I'm not. People make fun of me. Oh, the mockery I get. Who was recently? I mean, yes. My cousin Mitchell and his family came out for a visit, and the foreman Mitchell Schwartz. No, this was Mitchell and family from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They came out and they arrived early evening and promptly asked. After a beer, which I provided for Mitchell and for his wife, and then I went for the champagne. And they said, "What do you do? Is that a jug? What do you wear? Don't open a champagne on our account." I'm like, "I'm not. I'm opening it on my account. I like champagne. It's my booze of choice now." Oh, how they laughed. They said, "Is this a bit? What are you doing?" And I said, "No, I like champagne now."
That is kind of funny.
I love it. And
like,
I also,
wine is one thing, but for you to open a bottle of champagne just for yourself is...
It's so refreshing. It's the bubbles. They're so...
I don't like it. It's too bubbly.
The gateway for me into champagne...
Prosecco.
What? Well, whatever you want to call it.
It's the gateway drug.
Sparkling. No, it was bubble water. You know, when I got off of the flat water,
and then you're like,
stepped
this
up.
Doesn't get me drunk enough.
No, when I stepped up to club soda / seltzer, and then when I got one of them machines that makes it in your home.
Oh, the soda stream.
That's when I requested and, insisted that I be referred to as your highness at home. Bubble water, magic? I can make the flat water bubble water like that?
Can you put white wine into that? Make your own champagne.
I've never tried
that. You should try that.
I really should. But, yeah, and I like, listen, laugh at me all you want. I'll be the one laughing in the end because I like a nice crisp rosé when it's warm outside.
Ooh, me too.
Ooh, it's so warm out here in Los Angeles right now. I could almost go for a rosé.
Do that now. Like, it's almost.
Is it fair for people in other parts of the country to hate Los Angeles? I find it obnoxious, the people who send out tweets like, hey, maybe you should think about Los Angeles, and it's all sunny outside. Look at these people are digging out snow. What are you going to make? You want people, is your goal to have people hate you who once liked you? I don't get that. Move on. Next question.
Check.
Yes, Sully. You guys are so convincing, I'm not sure who I'm actually supposed to call on.
It's
at any
good.
Given time.
I thought at one point I thought that was a recording, but they're doing it live.
So for the listeners that don't know, we did a Game of Thrones fantasy league last year.
Oh, yeah.
I won it.
Yes.
But we cheating. Have to do a real one this
time. I'm saying, here's the question. Should we repeat that one, which I don't agree with?
Terrible.
Or should we do a Deadpool person with the least amount of people living on your team at the end of the season wins?
The least amount. Living.
Least Deadpool.
So you want them to die,
right? You're cheering for your team to die.
Well, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong. Well, wait a second. The books are done now, so it's not like you could.
They're all caught
read ahead.
Yeah, you can't cheat this. That's why this works.
Are you cynical, handsome, about what may happen now? Do you think the quality of the show will drop off now that there isn't the map of the book to follow for the producers?
No, I still don't really understand what's going on.
I don't even remember what.
I don't remember what's
where
going
did we
on.
Leave off?
Where did we leave left? Off?
Are you kidding me? The Great Army is finally going across to Westeros.
Whose Great Army?
But, Daenerys Targaryen.
But why?
So she's still around.
Comes back
she's
to this.
She's trying to take back the throne.
Does she have all three dragons?
All
now?
Three dragons. You don't remember that last scene where all the ships with her three different armies
Must have been.
I just feel like everything's, but why? Why are you doing this?
Because
why are you
dad,
not just
the,
happy?
Her mad king got overthrown, so she wants to take the throne back.
And, I get it. But
and
just,
break the wheel of
down.
Every family taking over every once in a while. She's going to smash that wheel with her dragons.
Deal. Here's the deal. For real. The white guy, the white walkers, they're going to win the whole thing.
All right. Well, let me
grim ending.
Let me repackage this.
All humans are dead now.
Hank already gave me the answer. Like, who do you think is going to be the last person standing at the pile at the end of this thing?
Well, I've said it before. I'll say it again, and I'll say it again beyond this show, too. It's not going to be Daenerys. It's not going to be her.
Too
like,
obvious.
It's too obvious. Well, everybody's cheering for her.
She's
it
too powerful.
Yeah.
She's too. It'd be
she's
like,
got all the cards.
You don't make the most powerful win. It's got to have some underdog vibe. Where does that take you?
Podrick.
Podrick Payne?
Well, he hasn't been it would be weird for somebody who was recently introduced, relatively speaking, to emerge as the champ. I feel like it has to be somebody who we've been following the whole way through. Ergo, what's that?
Jon Snow.
Could be Snow. Yeah. Right. It could be Jon Snow.
But he's too big of a fan favorite.
Yeah, but some people like to be happy.
It would be dull for Jon Snow.
Lord of the Rings. Nobody dies in the end. That was my big gripe with that. It's Return of the Jedi. Nobody's dead at the end. Like, it was Han Solo said...
Boromir died in the first book, but that was like 3,000 pages ago.
Right. But I mean, no one of significance. Yeah, right. People get killed along the way. But if you're like... If you get to our... If you make it to the 60-minute mark of the climactic film or season, they can't kill you then. Like, people like to keep you around, and they will.
Someone will die at the end of.
Well, Jon Snow's already died and come back. Spoiler alert.
Because they're gonna they're gonna battle each other.
I can't think of the name of the what's the fancy city? King's Landing.
King's Landing. Yeah.
And who lives there?
The Lannisters.
The Lannisters.
Margaery.
Tyrion. I think Tyrion could win.
Well, Tyrion's with the queen. He's with Targaryen.
He's joined up, remember?
Right, but she has to die. She'll die sacrificially like Jesus. She's like, right, that's right.
Cersei?
She's too powerful. She's got like pseudo-godlike qualities, right, like a Jesus-like figure. You can't have her.
It sounds like we're having a Deadpool instead of a fantasy league.
We'll figure it out. Let's not rush into it.
Also, this is like a half season, right? It's not actually the last season.
Yeah, 7 and
so
6.
So I think there's a good chance that this one is all a setup for the next one. And so there, no one big is going to die. I think this season's going to be dull.
Handsome.
That's just me.
There's only 13 episodes left in the entire
series.
Yeah,
right. So
you can't have any dull episodes.
Yeah, you can.
They can't afford
it. All a setup.
No way.
All right.
Well, that would be some trick. Right, like, it's been so exciting to this point. Now we pump the brakes.
But every season has had, like, the first four episodes. You're like, okay, when's this actually
Bartlett,
start?
Do you like doing producer conferences?
These are great. We get the questions out that the people want to hear.
Do you feel like you learned a lot?
No.
Did Ike respond to the question?
Not yet.
It went out to him, though, eh?
What about Ike's drinking a nice red wine?
He likes
Barolo.
Ike knows his grapes for real. He really does know his grapes. I can't wait to find out what Ike's response is to that one. All right, we'll do more producer conferences. Do you like doing them, Handsome?
I very much enjoyed it.
It is nice. You just let your hair down. That's, you know.
I mean, about 100% less preparation than we normally do for a show.
I know. It makes me a little bit nervous. I might, for just to keep cool, I might need borrow one of Sully's shirts next time.
Me too.
And if Sully performs on the next show the way he did here, he will get the underpants. Congratulations in advance on that. All right, MVP, Sully, Ryan Bartlett, Handsome Hank. It was a great time. I have to MVP head writer says, see, that's why she minds
the
shop.
Right.
She's always knows what's happening with the shop. Here's the song by Dick Banks. It's our version of One Shining Moment.
Games are picked, and Dave is
I like the chorus. We need to cut it so it just gets right to the chorus. Right.
Can you fast forward?
We're doing our... I know brackets are lame. You can keep it going. Here it comes, right?
One stupid jingle, it's Dave's time to shine. One stupid jingle, nothing.
All right. So now what we've been talking about is, so we decided to figure out what franchise has had the best position in history, in pro sports history. We'll eventually get to doing the other ones, but for now we're doing our NFL ones. And are we through the first round yet, MVP?
Yes, now we are through the first round.
Okay.
No, we're not.
Oh, wait, where are we? Here, we
haven't.
Page
okay.
With all of it. Yes, MVP accesses my Twitter account and tweets as though she's me. You haven't captured my voice yet. We're going to have to work on that.
Just now I tweeted with -EVP so that people know it's me on your account.
Whoa! Interesting. So Steelers wide receivers were a one seed. Swan, Stallworth, Hines Ward, Antonio Brown. Hard to argue with. Even though the Steelers' mystique is owed to defense and running the ball, they have had an unusual run of success with great wide receivers. Versus the eight seed, the Raiders cornerbacks. Mike Haynes, Willie Brown, Lester Hayes, Charles Woodson, Nnamdi Asamoah. Steelers won that one. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Colts QBs, Johnny Unitas, Peyton Manning. They benefit from, you know, they maintain their name moving from Baltimore to Indy, but still a great run. Andrew Luck, and then Burt Jones was
he was a good player, wasn't he?
He was very good. He just had injury trouble. And, you know, who knows? If Ghost to the Post doesn't work out, one of the great playoff games of all time, the divisional round in Baltimore, they lost to the Raiders. Who knows what might have gotten. Three, the Chiefs running backs have defeated the – but the Colts, I'm sorry, QBs beat – Patriots kickers. That was a great submission from a citizen in the Czech Republic.
Good
Gino
one.
Cappelletti, Matt Barr. I don't know who wrote Matt Barr's name down, but Adam Vinatieri, Steven Goskowski, and of course Tony Franklin, the godfather of barefoot kicking, and John Smith, who made the
English forefather.
Right, the snowplow. He made the kicks. So the Colts won that one. Chiefs running backs: Christian Okoye, Marcus Allen, Priest Holmes, Jamal Charles. There's also Ed Podolak in there for old timers. They defeated the sixth seed, the Packers wide receivers, Sterling Sharp, James Lofton, Don Hudson, Jordy Nelson. You could also put, Greg Jennings or Donald Driver in there. Either way, Chiefs won that. Vikings defensive tackles, Alan Page, John Randall, Kevin Williams, and Keith Millard. Defeat, Keith Millard, by the way, retweeted that. I like that when you see a random one like that. Keith Millard, great Viking. Defeated. This is crazy. The Vikings won MVP?
They did, yeah.
Millard must have activated all his fans.
It was a close one, 56% to 44%.
Yes, and you can vote if you go at Damashek on Twitter. You can vote in the next round when that gets going. The Rams defensive ends, Deacon Jones, Jack Youngblood, Andy Robustelli, and Kevin Carter or Chris Long, either one of those. Bears number one seed middle linebackers, Dick Butkus, Ed George, Mike Singletary, Brian Urlacher, defeated Cardinals cornerbacks, a surprisingly strong group, Aeneas Williams, Night Train Lane, Larry Wilson, and Patrick Peterson. So the Bears move on. Two-seeded Cowboys wide receivers, Mike Irvin, Dez Bryant, Preston Pearson, Bullet Bob Hayes, and Terrell Owens. Strong two-seed there. They defeat your seven-seeded Miami Dolphins centers, Jim Langer, Dwight Stevenson, Tim Ruddy, Marquise Pouncey. The three-seeded Vikings quarterbacks defeat – how did they get a six-seed, a three-seed? Fran Tarkenton, Brett Favre, Dante Culpepper, and Randall Cunningham. Also, Tommy Kramer had some nice years in the 80s there. They beat the Colts defensive ends, Gino Marchetti, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, Bubba Smith. And lastly, rounding out the first round, the fourth-seeded Pittsburgh Steelers running backs, Franco Harris, Jerome Bettis, Le'Veon Bell, and Barry Foster. Also could throw John Henry Johnson in there. Who am I forgetting? Oh, Fast Willie Parker. Fast Willie Parker led the league in rushing one year, I believe. So
Bam Morris
scored a Super Bowl touchdown and then scored some other stuff and put it in the back of his car and got in some trouble, and the thing went downhill from there. They defeat the fifth-seeded Jets running backs, represented by Curtis Martin. LaDainian Tomlinson shouldn't even be on that list.
No, please. He shouldn't be remembered as a Jet.
And also, Matt Forte shouldn't be on that list. Matt Forte has played 1 year. John Riggins.
And Chris Johnson.
And Chris Johns. Well, how did they even get on this list, MVP?
This is an embarrassment.
Eddie Spaghetti made these rankings.
Eddie Spaghetti, don't pass the buck, sister.
You're
the head writer.
You're the head writer. You take responsibility.
The head writer checks his,
that's what we do.
His minion's work or her minion's work.
My fault.
Thank you.
Sure.
Excuse me? Sass. I don't know about the sass. Please, right.
Never got that from me, did you, Dave?
Oh, indeed.
Always just
are we now not doing
trumpet.
Julian Edelman, even though I promised we were going to get to that?
We're about 60 minutes in, so this is your call.
I thought I did. This is the no one's listening anymore. There are probably 11 people listening.
It's
at this
just
point.
The four of us. Now.
But I will say to the diehards, thank you for all the tweets at Damashek.
Even Sully left.
People are now doing. People have taken to Photoshop and are doing a lot of fun different Photoshops out there. So go to at Damashek to honor their work. Los Real Ali, our pal Sir Gumbo, has done some great stuff for us. So thanks and keep those coming. We appreciate it.
You should apologize. If there's one person who's holding on, listening, hoping to hear from Julian Edelman, you should apologize to that.
I apologize for not giving you Julian Edelman today, sir or ma'am, or as I like to call you, mom. It's not Mo Damashek. She's tuned out too. But here is the issue that Ryan Bartlett and MOVP have to suffer through all the time. I predicted, I was like, well, I don't know. If it's me and
20 minutes.
We have to figure it. We get to 20 minutes with a prayer, then we'll go to Julian Edelman. 60 minutes of gum flapping. Terrific. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week to kibitz more about the game of football and the game of life for Handsome Hank and everybody else. It's been a thin slice of heaven. I hope you sign a free agent or two. Between our two teams, Handsome, we have what? Justin Hunter to show for it?
Yep.
That's it? The Dolphins have literally zero?
They got Lawrence Timmons.
Oh, yeah, Lawrence Timmons. We're up to two.